Please join me in a responsive reading of Psalm 72, as found in your bulletin. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. May he judge your people in righteousness, your afflicted ones with justice.
May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he defend the afflicted among the people, and save the children of the needy. May he crush the oppressor.
May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. May he be like rain falling on a mown field, like showers watering the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more.
May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. May the dead of Christ bow before him and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and the distant shores bring tribute to him. May the kings of Sheba and Seba present him gifts. May all kings bow down to him, and all nations serve him.
For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy, and save the needy from death. He will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight.
Long may he live. May gold from Sheba be given him. May people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. May grain abound throughout the land. On the tops of the hills may it sway. May the crops flourish like Lebanon and thrive like the grass of the field.
May his name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun. Then all nations will be blessed through him, and they will call him blessed.
Praise be to the Lord God, the God of Israel, who alone does marvelous deeds. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Luke, chapter 1, we will read verses 26 through 33. A portion of the announcement or the annunciation to Mary concerning the conception of the child who would be named Jesus. Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through verse 33. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And may Jesus Christ, who is the living Word, speak to us from this passage, which is his written Word. I was able to speak to several of you this week concerning the passing of Wilma Vandevon. And I learned something of her in her own spiritual life. One of her favorite lines in hymnody, and she was quite the expert in that, was from the hymn, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven." The line goes like this: "Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven." Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. I'm glad I learned of that, because it has fed my own soul to know, A, that she reflected upon it, and B, as I've reflected on it this week, especially in light of what we want to begin to share this morning, I've realized afresh and anew how rich that statement is as a part of the refrain. And I want to ask you this. Now, our time is very brief, and I will not even begin to finish, so we're going to continue this next week on the Son of David, because there's so much to learn and so much that I have learned about it. And here's what I'm getting at. What are you doing to focus your attention upon Jesus Christ during this Advent season? What are you doing to deepen your own understanding of the incarnation, of the coming of Jesus Christ? Some of you would say, well, I'm reading the Advent readings, and that, of course, is tremendous. If you read yesterday, you read from 2 Samuel chapter 7, and you read of the promise to David that his son would be seated upon his throne forever. I would encourage you to read the Advent passages. You may be rehearsing or reviewing the stories of the Nativity itself, reading Matthew and Luke's account of the birth of Jesus and spending extra time meditating on it. Some of us reflect on the carols during the Christmas season. One of my little disciplines is I find a phrase from a carol and I will reflect on it over and over and over. We will be singing in just a few moments, "Let all mortal flesh keep silence." That carol, several years ago, became the one that I focused on as we worked through the various truths of each stanza. Rank on rank, the host of heaven bow before Christ as He descends. Well, that's not the exact words, but that became my line. The other one, just a couple of years ago, was from the carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the wonders of His heaven. What a rich, rich line that is as we reflect upon the mystery of the incarnation. I would encourage you to do something in order to focus your attention. Oftentimes we gather in groups at this time of the year, and someone will say, "What does Christmas mean to you?" Now, of course, there are trivial answers to that question, and we bypass the trivial answers. But if we're not careful, we oftentimes fall back upon a cliche. And the cliche gets repeated and everybody nods their head because we all affirm the cliche. Well, this is a special time because we remember that Jesus was born. Of course, that's at the heart of it. But do we ever go beyond the cliches? Do we ever go deeper than the cliches in our lives? I want to encourage you to deepen your thinking and meditation during this very busy season. Do not neglect to feed your soul and mind as you reflect, as you use various disciplines to deepen your knowing Jesus Christ. We do not often think of Jesus as the Son of David. We often refer to Him as Savior, Lord, Christ, or Messiah. We speak of Him as the servant, and even the Son of Man, though that's a little far removed from our thinking. But we very rarely, if ever, refer to Him as the Son of David. This morning, I prayed for the first time in my memory of my ministry about Jesus, the Son of David. I've never done it before. And I was convicted of it this week. Now, I didn't pray it just so I could say I prayed it at this point in the message. But I did become aware that most people have never heard it mentioned, and I've never mentioned it in my praying. Jesus, we thank You that You are the Son of David, that You are seated on the throne of David even now, that You are installed at the Father's right hand as the Prince of David. This is a significant theme in Scripture. And it is important that we recapture this. It is around this theme that I'm focusing my devotions and my meditation, my personal, during this Advent season. Jesus, the Son of David. It is a very significant title. And it's true not only in the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, but it's especially true in the New Testament. We just read of it in Luke's account of the Annunciation to Mary. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. That passage, those words from Gabriel to Mary, echo, and there are several major parallels, but with 2 Samuel chapter 7, the passage I mentioned that was for our reading yesterday, there are several phrases that are taken from 2 Samuel chapter 7 and are repeated here by Gabriel, indicating to us, and this continues throughout the New Testament, that these promises given to David, this covenant given to David, is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, as the Son of David, is the fulfillment of God's promises to David. And not only did God make that promise in 2 Samuel 7, but we see these promises amplified in the Psalms. We just read a psalm that speaks of the King and the glory of the King fulfilled ultimately in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 89, we read of the Davidic covenant. And then we read of things within the prophets. Our call to worship from Isaiah 9 reminded us of the promise of the establishment of the Davidic kingdom, of the increase of His government and of His peace. There shall be no end on the throne of David and over His kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. This is accomplished through the birth of a Son who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then in Jeremiah 23:5-6 we read, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness." Now, if we had time, and as I said, our time is extremely brief, we'll save it for next week. We would look at Ezekiel chapters 34 and chapter 37. And we will see that God promises that He will restore His people. And He will place over them one king. And they would be one people, one nation. And there would be one kingdom. And of course, as we will see, this is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of David. We find this not only prominent in the nativity stories, the stories surrounding the birth of Jesus, but in the remainder of the New Testament, we find references to Jesus as the descendant or heir or son of David. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead." In 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the seed of David, as preached in my gospel." And then in Revelation 22, the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus speaks and he says, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things to the churches. I am the root and descendant of David. I am the bright morning star." Jesus identifies himself in his last words to John, "I am the root and descendant of David." What is significant about this? Jesus, as the Son of David, fulfills all the promises given to David in the covenant through Nathan the prophet. Matthew particularly centers our attention on the birth of the king. Matthew chapter 1 opens with this statement, "The genealogy or the genesis of the birth of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." A few verses down, as they move through the genealogy, we have this phrase that just stands out and begins to just sort of glow at us like a neon bulb: David the King. David the King. He is a descendant of David the King. And then again in verse 17, he is referred to as the son of David. Now, what's interesting about that genealogy is we have three movements, three segments. Each segment consists of 14 generations. Now, quickly, let me say this. When Matthew gives us that, he leaves out some names. One writer wrote an excellent article. He said, "Can Matthew count? Can Matthew count?" I mean, when you go back to the Old Testament, you find out in one of the sections, he leaves out four names. But he structures the genealogy thematically. He structures it for a purpose. There are three segments with 14 generations each. Now, he's using a Jewish technique. And in using this Jewish technique, he's highlighting and amplifying the numerical value of the name of David. You see, in Hebrew, a letter had a numerical value. And the letter D had the numerical value 4. The letter what we call V, the Vav, has the numerical value 6. So we have a 4, 6, and a 4. There are no vowels in the Hebrew language originally. So we have 4, 6, 4, the number 14. And when we read, and our Jewish reader read that there were 14 generations, they immediately thought of David. David is the structure that holds together the genealogy in Matthew. For Jesus is highlighted as the son of David. He is the fulfillment of the promises given to David. What's interesting is that Herod becomes the foil, the background in which the birth of Jesus is given. And we have in chapter 2, in the opening verses, we have the phrase Herod the king. But after the Magi come and they want to find out where he is born, who is the king of the Jews, Herod is never called the king anymore. It's just called Herod. Because Herod is not the king. Jesus Christ is the son of David. Seated upon the throne of David, ruling not only the nation of Israel, but the nations of the earth. Herod knew what many Christians do not know. He knew that the birth of this child meant that the old way of ruling humanity was doomed. The transition from the old way of rule to the new way of rule was not going to be simple or easy, but it was going to happen. Of the increase of the Lord's government, there would be no end. And whatever that meant, Herod knew that he was against it. Kings, potentates, presidents and rulers, dictators and tyrants of this world will one day pass away. But the kingdom and kingship of Jesus Christ will continue forever. There will be no end. Jesus is the promised Davidic king. And it is Him before whom we bow this day. It is Him, the Son of David, whom we worship. It is Him who has authority over heaven and earth, and who now rules. In His sovereign glory and in His sovereign grace, He now rules in His kingdom. And Jesus Christ is that King. This Christmas season, let us remember Jesus Christ as the Son of David. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we thank You for the Word of God and how it captures our imaginations and reorients our lives and our thinking. We pray that we may, in a fresh way, begin to embrace this truth that Jesus is the Son of David. We are not of Jewish descent. We do not share the same dreams that the Jewish people shared of this time when Jesus was born. But we are the Gentiles who have come into His kingdom and who have heard the good news of His redemption and of His grace and of His restoration. So may we acclaim Jesus Christ not only as King of kings and Lord of lords, but as the Son of David, who is seated upon upon David's throne and at Your right hand, and even now rules from the throne of David and governs the nations of this earth and has accomplished redemption for us through His healing grace and through His death upon the cross. Because he has been resurrected, he has been exalted to your right hand. And he will remain there until the consummation of all things when he returns and ushers in a new heaven and a new earth. May we live under his rule. May we submit to his authority. May we give homage and honor to him as our king. As great David's greater son. For it is through him that we pray. Amen.